You're listening to WSFM LP 103.3 in Asheville, North Carolina. This is The Final Straw, your weekly anarchist radio show, airing on Sundays between 2 and 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm Bursa Goodness.
And I'm William Goodenough.
The show can also be heard on KXCF in Marshall, California, KWTF in Bodega Bay, California, KOWALP in Olympia, Washington, WCRSLP in Columbus, Ohio, and on the pirated airwaves of Berkeley Liberation Radio. The show will later be archived at thefinalstrawradio.noblogs.org for as long as the internet lasts. You can email us at thefinalstrawradio@riseup.net with anything, and you can send a snail mail at thefinalstraw, care of Asheville FM, 864 Haywood Road, Asheville, North Carolina, 28806.
This show is brought to you by Firestorm Books and Coffee. Located at 610 Haywood Road in West Asheville, Firestorm Books and Coffee is a worker-owned cooperative in Asheville specializing in offbeat, underground, and independent literature. Firestorm's full catalog of books and zines can be found online at firestorm.coop. This week on The Final Straw, we will feature a great batch of punk and metal projects from all over the place. They are mostly pulled from the site Red and Anarchist Black Metal at r-a-b-m.blogspot.com, which is a long-standing blog featuring, as you might imagine, Red and Anarchist Black Metal. But first, in some recent news.
As we reported last week, Chelsea Manning was facing indefinite solitary confinement on some pretty serious trumped-up charges. After over 100,000 people signed a petition on her behalf, she is now no longer facing solitary. But she has been found guilty of all four things that she was being investigated for. And these are: A, number one, having an expired tube of toothpaste. B, number two, asking to speak to her attorney. C, number three, having an issue of Vanity Fair magazine. And four, number D, maybe accidentally knocking a packet of mustard onto the floor. From her support page, quote, "We won an important victory by keeping Chelsea out of indefinite solitary confinement. However, this ruling of guilty on all four absurd charges is not without significant ramifications." Unquote. Now these convictions... This is a quote from Chelsea via phone after a recent hearing. "Now these convictions will follow me through any parole and clemency hearing forever. I was expecting to be in minimum custody in February, but now years have been added to that." Another quote. Quote, "As Chelsea's lawyer, I am horrified and angry about these convictions. This was a star chamber where Chelsea had to defend herself in secret. These convictions will not silence her. She will only be stronger, and we will fight that much harder in her appeal to overturn her convictions and her sentences," unquote, declared Chelsea's lead attorney, Nancy Hollander. "At this time, it's horrifyingly clear to us at The Final Straw that if it weren't for all the petition signatures and media coverage of this issue, that Chelsea would indeed be thrown into solitary confinement indefinitely. So keep it up, everyone. It's extremely important for people to keep talking about this issue. Also, funds are needed to keep her legal defense going. They're only a few bucks short. You can see info about this case and how to give support at chelseamanning.org.
At least 9 people were arrested after St. Louis police shot and killed an African-American 18-year-old, Mansour Manman Balbay, who was fleeing police while they attempted to serve a search warrant in the northern part of the city. In the wake of the killing, crowds poured into the streets, where they were met with military police tanks and tear gas. People cursed the police, burned American flags, erected barricades, and chanted Black Lives Matter. This is just one of the protests that have occurred since the year anniversary of Michael Brown's murder at police hands in Ferguson, Missouri. More information about this event and personal commentary by anonymous participants can be found at the excellent news website, itsgoingdown.org.
From anarchist prisoner Michael Kimball's support page and blog at anarchylive.noblogs.org, on the situation of the Holman 3. St. Clair Correctional Facility in Springville, Alabama, is the subject of a class action lawsuit filed by the Alabama Justice Initiative and on behalf of St. Clair Correctional Facility, on behalf of prisoners housed at St. Clair. The focus of the lawsuit is the extremely violent atmosphere at the prison. the violent assaults inflicted upon prisoners by high-ranking and also by low-ranking guards. There has been a long train of assaults on prisoners by guards. On June 17, 2015, prisoners at St. Clair called a halt to the unchecked assaults by retaliating against two guards who were assaulting a prisoner. A crowd of prisoners beat the two guards, who have a long history of assaulting prisoners. 17 prisoners are swept up in the haste to quell the rebellion. Prison officials don't know what prisoners took part in the rebellion. All 17 prisoners were placed in segregation. Of the 17, three were transferred to Donelson Max in Bessemer, Alabama, and three were transferred to Holman Max, and 11 are still at St. Clair. The three prisoners, Brandon Lee, Jonathan Mallory, and Jamie Montgomery, transferred to Holman's segregation unit, have not been charged and or received any disciplinary write-up for any institutional rule violation, but are continually being refused release to general population. We need everyone that reads this, or hears this in this case, to call the warden at Holman Prison and the commissioner of the Alabama Department of Corrections and demand that Brandon Lee, Jonathan Mallory, and Jamie Montgomery be immediately released into general population due to the fact that none of them have been charged with any rule infractions at St. Clair or at Holman. One could call the below-listed numbers to have influence and could continually call them until they get results. The number for Warden Walter Myers of Holman is 251-368-8173. The number for Commissioner William G. Sharp Jr. by phone is 334-353-3883. Or one might hypothetically be able to fax some stuff at 334-353-3967.
From the Denver ABC website, denverabc.wordpress.com. In the summer of 2013, members of several anarchist Black Cross or ABC groups discussed the necessity of introducing an International Day for Anarchist Prisoners. For listeners who are unaware, the ABC is a long-standing anarchist model for political prisoner support and also serves as an educational engine on issues pertaining to the prison industrial complex. Given there are already established dates for Political Prisoner Rights Day or Prison Justice Day, we found it important to emphasize the stories of our comrades as well. Many imprisoned anarchists will never be acknowledged as political prisoners by formal human rights organizations because their sense of social justice is strictly limited to the capitalist laws, which are designed to defend the state and prevent any real social change. At the same time, even within our individual communities, we know so little about the repression that exists in other countries, to say nothing of the names and cases involving many of our incarcerated comrades. This is why we have decided to introduce an annual week for anarchist prisoners on August 23rd through 30th, starting on this very day. We chose August 23rd as a starting point because on that same day in 1927, the Italian-American anarchists Nicola Sacco and Bartolomeo Vanzetti were executed in prison. They were convicted of murdering two men during an armed robbery at a shoe factory in South Braintree, Massachusetts. Their arrest was part of a bigger anti-radical campaign led by the American government known as the Palmer Raids. The state's evidence against the two was almost totally non-existent, and many people still today believe that they were punished for their strong anarchist beliefs. Given the nature and diversity of anarchist groups around the globe, we have proposed a week of common action rather than a single campaign on a specific day, making it easier for groups to be able to organize an event within a larger target period. Therefore, we call on everyone to spread the information about the Week for Anarchist Prisoners among other groups and communities, and think about organizing events in your city or town. The events can vary from info evenings, film screenings, and benefit concerts to solidarity and direct action events. Check out the flyers in different languages on the Denver ABC website, which is denverabc.wordpress.com, and you can send reports of your activities to the email address tillallarefree@riseup.net.
This month is also historically significant as a yearly marker for anti-prison, anti-racist, and anti-capitalist struggle in the U.S., known as Black August. Black August began in commemoration of the murder of Jonathan Jackson, George Jackson, William Christmas, James McLean, Katari Golden, and Kateri Golden in the California penal system between 1970 and 1971. Quote, Yogi Bear, unquote, a.k.a. Hugo Pinnell, was a prisoner convicted of participating in the attempted uprising of August 21, 1971 at San Quentin, in which George Jackson died. After suffering decades in Pelican Bay's Security Housing Unit, or SHU, he was recently released into general population and was killed by white prisoners. He served 50 years behind bars and struggled against the racist prison system. He is gone but not forgotten.
Also pulled from denverabc.wordpress.com, PKK and PAJK political prisoners in Turkey are now on the sixth day of their indefinite hunger strike. On August 15th, prisoners accused of being members of the Kurdistan Workers' Party, PKK, and Kurdistan Women's Liberation Party, PAJK, started an indefinite hunger strike with three demands. The day coincided with the anniversary of the first armed action of the PKK. The prisoners are demanding that the Turkish state end its ongoing isolation of jailed PKK leader Abdullah Öcalan, who has been unable to meet with anyone from the outside since April. They are also calling for the bodies of YPJ and YPG fighters to be allowed entry into Turkey for burial by their families and for the political genocide operations against Kurds to come to an end. The political prisoners have announced via their lawyers that they will continue their hunger strike until their demands are met. There will be a support action for the prisoners today outside the women's prison in the Bakırdöy neighborhood of Istanbul.
Now some words from anarchist prisoner Sean Swain.
My parents are old. Old enough that this past Friday they celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary. My mom is 70 and my dad is 69. He likes to tell everyone he's a decade younger than my mom. He thinks that's funny. My mom, not so much. My mom and dad don't know me as anarchist prisoner Sean Swain. They know me as the idiot they embarrassed all through high school by showing every one of his girlfriends the photo of him as a kid, sitting on the toilet reading a comic book. See, when somebody has a picture of you reading a comic book on the toilet, there's really no way at any point later on in life to persuade them as to what an influential thinker you are. Needless to say, my parents are not anarchists. My dad worked at Ford and retired from the factory after 30 years on the job, and my mom was a stay-home mom. They've always paid their taxes and have never been late on a bill, though they are neither Democrat nor Republican, but register as independents. They're patriotic. They have an American flag flying it from their awning. Their 50th wedding anniversary is undoubtedly to them a landmark moment to indicate that they lived their lives the right way, following the rules. Their allegiance to the larger systems, to them, is central to their values, to their sense of themselves, their identities as good people, good parents, and good citizens. Don't get me wrong here. I love them dearly. They are two of the kindest, gentlest, most loving people I know. I have never met anyone more honest, more hardworking, more conscientious. I admire them and I admire their characters. So it is a great source of frustration to me that when I advise them to run up their credit cards, sell what they buy on eBay and keep the loot, telling the credit card companies to chalk it, or when I suggest they take out bank loans and abscond, they at best think I'm pulling their legs, or at worst think I'm mentally ill, and that my long imprisonment has had a negative impact on my moral thinking. My parents don't get me. They love me, but they don't get me. All of my criticism of hierarchical constructs and the system of capital and the expansive nature of mass production of food and how it all leads to a not-so-distant catastrophe and immiseration, I may as well be speaking Portuguese. Sometimes, in fact, it almost seems that I've hurt my parents' feelings, that they respond not in defense of the system I've just criticized, but in defense of themselves, as if I blame them for the ills of the world. And that feels particularly frustrating because I love them very much, and I respect them, and quite frankly, much of what motivates me to resist is a lifetime of watching them get a raw deal they didn't deserve. So I'm not sure how to explain my thinking to them in a way that they don't feel I'm criticizing them. Could it be that it's not possible, since they identify somehow with the system that I oppose? I'm not sure, but I also have to think that I'm not the only anarchist on the planet that experiences this disconnect. I'm sure anarchists everywhere must have similar struggles. strong and abiding emotional ties to some folks who are, for better or worse, lifelong hierarchs. It's hard, isn't it? And I don't have any answers. But maybe it's an unrealistic expectation that everyone will understand everyone else. Maybe, in my situation, with my parents, it should be enough that they love me and that they know me. They know my character, who I am. So whether or not they understand my thinking or my ideas, they know that I want a world with less suffering and more joy. And I know that they do too. In the bigger picture then, it may not matter so much to those two people with the photograph of me reading a comic on the toilet that I'm seemingly speaking Portuguese. Whether they understand a word I say or not, this is Paul and Nancy's kid from Warren Correctional Institution, Lebanon, Ohio. If you're listening, you are the resistance.
You can write to Sean Swain at his new address by directing it to Sean Swain, 243-205, Warren, CI, P.O. Box 120, 5787 State Route 63, Lebanon, Ohio, 45036. For updates on his situation, his bid for U.S. president in 2016, and more writings by Sean can be found at seanswain.org.
Now we're going to hear the first track off of Archivist's self-titled album. The track's called Ascension, and the album was released on June 5th, 2015. Members from this project are based in Austria, the UK, and Germany, and include former members of the Epic Crust projects Fall of Ephephra and Lightbearer. Thank you. This is Gasp with Skin Like Snakes off of their demo cassette, out June 11th, 2015. Gasp is from Portland, Oregon. As Puertas de Muerte by Animalesco o Metodo off of their 2014 demo. Animalesco o Metodo is a crust group from Portugal. We'll be right back. Here we have Ni Nom Ni Drapeau, translated as Without Names of Flags, which is the first track off of Sordide's album La France à Pour. This was released on February 24th, 2015.
Je suis en train de me faire.
This is Hedgecraft by False from their untitled album of June 16th this year on Gilead Media. False is from Oshkosh, Wisconsin and Minneapolis, Minnesota.
We'll be right back.
This show is brought to you by Firestorm Books and Coffee, located at 610 Haywood Road. Firestorm Books and Coffee is a worker-owned cooperative in Asheville specializing in offbeat, underground, and independent literature. Firestorm's full catalog of books and zines can be found online at firestorm.coop.
This is Ragana, a female-fronted punk sludge two-piece from Oakland and Olympia. This is Invocation Part 2 from Wash Away, out August 12, 2015. They'll be playing at Fox Manor with Uninhabitable on September 1st. Also upcoming, check out the Punks for Pits benefit show with Shadow of the Destroyer at the Auditorium on Thursday, the 27th at 8 p.m. You're listening to WSFM LP 103.3 in Asheville, North Carolina. This is The Final Straw, your weekly anarchist radio show, airing on Sundays between 2 and 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm Bursa Goodness. This show can also be heard on KXCF in Marshall, California, KWTF in Bodega Bay, California, KOWA LP in Olympia, Washington, WCRS LP in Columbus, Ohio, and on the pirated airwaves of Berkeley Liberation Radio. Up next is Onward Through the Fog with DJ Jake. Stay tuned for some rootin' tootin' feel good jams for your Sunday afternoon.